So it's 8/26/2018. Again, I'm filling in for Dave. I'm Pauly Bobek III. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13. It's kind of a crazy week. Me and Mary got in finally our place the Lord bless us with. It's a really nice place. And I want to thank Terry and Rector Coleman's not here, but they came and gave us a hand. A friend of hers did. And we just feel blessed. It's a beautiful place. So it's been a hectic week. And again, it wasn't a whole week I got to prepare. So moving, packing, and you know, have you ever taken a shower with shampoo? So if I look flaky, like my skin today, we didn't bring soap to the new place. We still got a little bit in the other place. So anyway, I'm going to open up a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord. You're just worthy. You're Almighty God, and you care about us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You're not only powerful, you're loving. And you got a heart full of grace, and you're righteous, and you're merciful, and you're just. Lord, I thank you that you've given us your Spirit the moment we trusted that Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead, when we realized he did it for us personally. And I know you justified us, declared us righteous. So I know you can use me this morning, Father. In my own, I'm not righteous. But what a blessing to know about justification. I pray your Holy Spirit will be the real teacher here, that you'll edify us, that we'll look into your word, and that we won't just want to be shallow with it. We want to know the depths of it. And only your Holy Spirit can illumine our minds in that, so we depend on him. And may everything be done here today to glorify your Son. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And, you know, this doesn't just come in about love. Though, what I'm going to say is, this is a definition of love. But there's a reason Paul is bringing it up. He's dealing with spiritual gifts. And he's dealing with the very carnal church. Fleshly carnal. The Galatians were spiritually carnal. They were getting themselves under legalism, under law. Do you know in grace churches, you can have legalism? You say, nah. I say, yeah. Someone told me last week, and I'm glad I don't know who the person was, so if I'm looking around, if you get convicted on it, I don't know who it is, I'm glad. But somebody in our church smokes, and somebody told them that she's not worthy of being a mother because she smokes. That's not loving. That's one of the reasons I'm doing this thing. That's legalistic. What I'm going to say is, God doesn't even mention smoking in the Bible. People go, oh, he says your temple's of the Holy Spirit, right? Yes, it is. I remember somebody saying, think of when you smoke, the Holy Spirit coughing. Does the Holy Spirit breathe oxygen? He doesn't say nothing about smoking. He does say about being rude. He does say about being self-righteous. He does say we're not under the law, we're under grace. And the reason why it bothered me when I heard that, and I'm glad I don't know who it was, because I love this church because there's so much love. Because the pastor teaches grace. But if we don't apply the grace, you know what? What did Paul tell the Galatians that we're getting under legalism? Watch lest you devour one another. If we don't apply the grace, I've seen a church not long ago dissolve, a grace church. They weren't holding Paul's gospel firmly. They were trying to get into worldly means to build their church up. Have you heard about Willow Creek, what's going on? They're falling apart, you know why? They went around when they started that church. It's the big mega church in Barrington, Illinois. They asked the people, what don't you like about church? And then they gave it to them. They built it on fleshly means, insurance, marketing schemes. And now it's fallen apart. It's sad for the believers, but you know, they were more trying to get more people in, and that's what's the problem today. I hope maybe if some pastors listening, they won't build their assembly on manly, humanistic traditions and man's ways. I hope they'll build it on the grace of God and Paul's gospel. That will last if we apply it. If we don't, we'll devour one another. Anybody want that? I don't think so. So let's go 1 Corinthians. I guess it would help me to go to 1 Corinthians. And remember here now, we're mid-Acts Pauline dispensational church, right? So we understand about sign gifts, and actually, that's what Paul's dealing with. This church was saying, look at me. Look at me speak in tongues. Look at my gift. Check me out. Right? Selfish, self-focused. They were suing each other. These are believers. People go, oh, you know, when you get saved, God just won't let you sin. Oh, really? Who's Paul writing to? To the saints in Corinth. We all got a sin nature. And if we don't apply the grace of God, if we don't take Romans chapter 6 and understand the mechanics of the Christian life, that you died with Christ, learn your identity. You died who you were in Adam. You were buried there. But the sin nature is still in us. It ain't disappeared. But we got a new nature because not only did we die in Adam, that old man's dead. I'm not in Paul Baalbek in Adam anymore. You know, psychobabble says you got to go back to your childhood and reopen it, let the pus out, the infection. No, I go back to the cross. And then I continue on to the burial. I died. And then the resurrection. I rose. You rose with Christ if you're in Christ, right? You got a new identity. You're unconditionally loved. You're accepted in the beloved. You're righteous in Christ. That's a good identity, right? And then when you get wrong thoughts, what do you think of when I said wrong thoughts? People think, oh, lustful thoughts. How about mean thoughts? How about not being patient with your wife? I'm a coming. What's his name? Red Fox? What about not respecting your husband? Not about being patient with your kids? What about being self-righteous and looking down on other believers because they do something that you think is wrong when it ain't in Scripture? Believers that judge other believers because they have a couple glasses of wine. Oh, they're a Christian? I ain't saying go ahead and drink because you're probably better if you don't. But don't judge the ones who are. Like Jesus, even on the law, said what? You know, take the mote out of your own eye before you can help somebody else out.
Right.
And love is not rude. Sometimes us as mid-Acts dispensationalists are rude. We're not gentle with people. Don't you see how to rightly divide the word? Don't you see Paul's gospel? Come on, man, I'm showing you how many times I got to show you. Right? And what do they think? I don't think that message is from God, because God would be they would be loving. We're supposed to speak the truth in love, aren't we?
That's right.
So, again, Paul here, you know, I can't go through the whole chapter, but he's dealing with gifts. And these believers didn't realize they're all puffed up on the gifts. You ever hear, hey, if we got back to Pentecost, man, the church would be powerful. Oh, really? If the gifts would be working. Oh, really? Look at the Corinthians. They had all the gifts working. They were popping, boy. And they were the most carnal church there was. So you'll get believers today, well, they teach you. You get trust in Jesus. And it's usually ask Jesus in your heart, right? There ain't a scripture in a verse in Scripture that says, ask Jesus in your heart. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace through faith. Faith is trust, right? Is there a scripture that says walk an aisle? Come with hot, scalding tears? Repent of all your sins? No, repentance means a change of mind. So I like going to Greek. I think it's metanoia. I change from unbelief to belief. Now what happens is God starts with me. You're a new creation, but we're housed in old body's flesh, right? So that old sin nature brings thoughts. Or Satan works through the flesh, right? Brings thoughts. But that's why knowing your identity is important. Why you rightly divide the word. Go to Paul's epistles. That's where we find out who we are in the body of Christ, right? And ain't that wonderful, your identity?
Yes.
I mean, man, your identity is, if you don't see, that's how your mind's transformed. You see yourself who Christ has made you. And then it's natural, supernatural. Natural is just walking the flesh. It's super, you know, we get our charismatic Pentecostal friends, and I love, some of them got more passion than some grace believers are sharing the gospel. It's not how much you know, it's how much you apply of what you know.
Amen.
See, we gotta jump ahead on a lot of, if you want to say believers, we understand how to rightly divide the word. So we know where to go to Paul's apostles for our instructions. And we know we can learn from all the scriptures. All scriptures God breathed, right? These for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. You know, that training is discipline. All right? So we got to step ahead. But if we don't apply it, we ain't busting a grape. As I say in the neighborhood. You know? They're all puffed up on these temporary gifts. See, saying, look at me. And what's the easiest gift to imitate or act like? I was watching a dude in Africa, a brother, man. He was kind of doing some good message. And then he starts popping in, Ashanakataha. And then his wife's singing, and I'm like, that ain't the Holy Spirit. But that's what people think. See, Paul deals with it. I'm just going to real quick, before we go where Paul's defining love. Paul says in verse 8, charity or love never faileth. But where there be prophecies, that's the gift. Prophecy in the Bible ain't going to fail, is it? It's going to come true. If God said it, it's going to happen, right? But it's the gift, the sign gift of prophecy. What do we live by? Faith, not by sight. A lot of believers are trying to live by sight. You know, there's churches this morning that they're jumping around. I was one for 8 years. I used to be a Pentecostal. Man, we had it popping, you know. People shaking, jumping, getting hit on the head, bam, you know. And I used to think, wow, the Holy Spirit's really moving today. And then I go home during the week, fall on my face in my Christian life, and then couldn't wait till Wednesday to get my, you know, recharge. And then Sunday, and then I walk the aisle, recommit to the commitment I broke last week. I got so sick of it, and when I was at that point, God said, let me show you. Now, not a voice. Use an illustration. God said, let me show you what. You can't live the Christian life. Only Christ could give it to you, and only He can live it through you. That's when I started learning what a true spiritual walk under grace is about. So He says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. The idea there, it's in the Greek, and I love going to the original language. That's what God wrote it in. It's going to stop. And then when He speaks about tongues, whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Well, there was going to come a time, right, when that sign gift was going to cease. There was a purpose for it. Which, this lesson ain't about that. But y'all know, you should. If not, my book table Grace and Truth Ministry, we got books on there that you can learn from about that. And whether there should be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So does that mean nobody's going to know anything? See, come on. It means the gift of knowledge. It's a sign gift. Well, when's that going to happen? For we know in part. So if you went to 2 Corinthians 12, I believe, Paul says, I'll come to revelations, visions and revelations. When Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9, right, he raised him up. Christ began the body of Christ. Paul said he was saved as a pattern, right, for those who would believe after. He brought in the dispensation of grace. We're not under law, Paul says in Romans 6:14, right? Since you'll not have dominion over you. Get under legalism, get under law, get under the performance system, and what happens? Sin shall have dominion over you. But we're not under that. We are under grace. Well, grace has instructions too. See, the whole thing of law is to desire to do God's will, right? But it doesn't empower you. It just tells you, do this, don't do that. You know, grace should make us desire to be obedient to God, but it's out of gratitude. Law is fear. Grace is gratitude. Law will break your back. Grace will empower you. Christ in you. I can do all what?
All things.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because the legalist says I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? Well, in Paul's epistles, that's where we're at, we find out that one time in the early church, before Paul got all that doctrine for the body of Christ under grace, well, these gifts were working. Because they weren't under law, so they didn't have them scriptures. They could learn from them. Well, what would happen? Paul received it from Christ over a period of time. From when he got saved all the way, well, we know by the time he wrote Colossians, his prison epistles, Acts 28, he says it was getting in to complete the Word of God, perfected, fulfilled. That's the idea of complete. You didn't need these partial knowledge. See, they were getting partial knowledge. Christ gave it to Paul. Paul would teach the apostles and prophets in the early church. And then they would teach the people, okay? The Holy Spirit was illuminating their minds to it. So, once you got that which is perfect, which is complete, and that's not Jesus, you know, that's why I said I like going to Greek. In the Greek, it's in the neuter. It's not a person. Because my charismatic Pentecostal friends will say, oh, that's when Jesus comes back. He that is perfect. It's not what it says. It's in the neuter. It's impersonal. It's not a person. It's the Word of God. See? He talks about partial. Then he talks about complete, right? You getting this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Myrtle, put on that coffee! Early, you know, it's rough starting out early, right? It says... This wind over here is blowing my... He said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. So that's partial knowledge, right? But when that which is perfect... See, it's not Christ. Partial knowledge, perfect knowledge. What kind of knowledge is it? Of God, right? Of His will, of His word, His revelation. Now we have the full, what? Revelation of the mystery that was kept secret in time. We got it all now, praise God. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So you hear that? The partial sign gifts will be done away when the Word of God was completed. We don't need them anymore. We don't need extra biblical revelation. Turn on TV and hear them. Oh, God gave me some extra, some revelation knowledge today. He said, if you give, he'll give you a hundredfold. Open up them pockets. Come on. Come on, everybody. I should start doing that. I'm waiting for my disability. You don't get rich teaching grace. And I never did it. I'm not getting paid for this. I pastored a church 2 years, not with the cent. They gave us a gift when we ended it. But watch this, say, why you do that? Grace of God. Makes you want to be used, serve God, to be used to bless people in your families, your children, your friends, your enemies. Said, when I was a child, what's a child? Immature, right? I spake as a child. When I understood, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul's telling them, put away your childish toys. There was a lot of them, some had the gifts of tongues. Paul deals with it if you go through there. But some were just doing like they're doing today. Ashenai, kata. Paul says, you know, even the flute has specific sounds, right? Every language has words. Ashenai, kata, patai. Ain't a language. Tongues was a known language. Peter said, they heard us speaking Medes and Persians, and there were Jews from all countries coming in hearing the word of God in their own language. It was somebody who never learned the language supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. See, if there was real tongues today, nobody would need to go to missionary school, would they? And learn the language and things, because they would just do it. He said, now this was at this time. That's why you even got to rightly divide Paul's epistles, wouldn't you say, Boyd? Because his early epistles, the signs are going on. But once the word was completed, they ain't no more. For now we see through a glass darkly. See, he didn't have the full revelation and knowledge of the mystery yet. But then, face to face, it's clear. You can see the word of God, his will, clearly. Once Paul received the completed revelation, knowledge of the mystery. He says, now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm known. Now look at what he says. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the word in the Greek is love. I know people who are real strong in the King James say, well, that's the word it should be in that. Well, is the scripture says God is love, right? Is God charity? The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Is the fruit of the Spirit God? Or is the Holy Spirit God? So that's all I'm saying. Sometimes, well, I'm not into that message, but some people will get mad if you point out truth. It doesn't matter if you're pointing out right. Even in gray circles, they don't like it when you challenge beliefs that they maybe learned from somebody else. You know? But you know that church that went down I told you about? I noticed some things coming in there. Like, if you know anything about the emerging church, they want to do church different. They, you know, don't talk about the cross. A Joel Osteen, you know, it's bad for their self-image. You know, that won't help grow our church. Some of them have sofas instead of chairs. Now, I wouldn't mind that, except I might fall asleep in it. You know, it's hard enough sometime if you're tired staying awake and there's a nice sofa recline. But see, they're trying to do it all different. Now, it's cool to get the gospel out in different ways, right? Through the internet, things like that. But don't ever change the message. That's what happened at Willow Creek. They were a seeker-sensitive church. What is church for? To build believers up. And to build you, the pastor's job, the Bible teacher's job, to edify you, build you up. They study, build you up, so you can do the work of the ministry. A work of faith and a labor of love. Yeah, grace. God wants to produce works in our lives. But it's not works in the energy of your flesh. It's works motivated by grace. It's a desire to want to please God. He's pleased completely with us. If you never lifted one little finger, if you never shared the gospel, He sees you as holy, righteous, totally beloved. But do you think, what's God's will? That all men be saved. All people. Everyone to be saved. Men, women, children. And then come to the knowledge of the truth. He lets us be a part of it. That's a blessing. To wake up every morning. Here I am, God. You can use me because I'm justified in Christ. Teach me your grace, God. Teach me how to walk in your spirit. Walk in the spirit, you won't feel lust of flesh, right? And so he says, and now abide it, faith, hope, and charity, or love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest is love. So now we dealt a little bit with the charismatic type, because there's a lot in the church, and they thrive on experiences. I was in that 8 years, you know. But now let's define love, and right away Paul goes to the rightly divider. Those who understand Paul's gospel, go start at the beginning. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity or love, and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know what that is? Obnoxious sounding noise. See? If you don't have love, I don't care if you spoke in 1,000 languages. You're just making a bunch of noise. And then the rightly dividers. Amen, brother. Let them charismatics, Pentecostals have it, right? Hold on. I got something for you. And though I have the gift of prophecy. Here we go. Hold your seats. Ready? I'm going to ruffle some feathers. That's what I told that church when last time I preached there. I told them I ain't worth a nickel as a preacher, a minister, Bible teacher. If I see something not good, and I see something coming into the church, if I don't straight up ought to speak the truth in love, I ain't worth a nickel. And I want to tell you, I ain't here to entertain you this morning. I'm here to edify you. I hope we have some fun while we're learning. I love to laugh with my brothers and sisters on Facebook every week because some people don't think it's important to come to church. A lot of grace believers. And sometimes it's a shame they ain't got one in their area. But then what I tell them, have you ever tried to start a Bible study that might lead into an assembly? You know, they're the lone strangers. They say, well, I can watch somebody on video or internet. Yeah? What about being there? Not only you receiving, grace makes us want to bless each other. How about, you know how many times the church has helped us financially? Go on the internet and see how many people help you. Your intimate Facebook friends. I love you so much, brother, sister. Yeah, we're going through, you know. Oh, I'll pray for you. You know. But it's important to come and assemble together. I tell people every week, I look forward. You know, I'm like, we're off to, I got to get off here. You know, I try and edify a little before I come. I say, I love getting together with my Grace family, you know. Rejoicing over the Word of God, rightly divided. And it's just not the info. Rejoice in Christ. He's a reality. He lives in all of us. And He uses us. We're all members, right? One body. Christ is ahead. We need each other. So when you're not here, something's lacking. You know, you might not think you're important at church. You are. Oh, I'm getting choked up. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all mysteries. Is the mystery included in that? We can understand the mystery. that wonderful, all that doctrine that Paul was given. But if we don't apply it, if we don't love each other, if we're self-righteous and looking at another one, now when somebody's really doing something, like they're in a lustful affair, Galatians 6, you are spiritual. Go help restore them. It didn't say go there and tell them how could you, a Christian, do that. It said, watch lest you be tempted. That means you can do the same thing. If not for the grace of God, where would we be? I think of it every day. I think of myself before I understood grace. I'd fall down and I'd get mad and go back and do drugs. And I'd be out there picking up women. And then I'd have to do more drugs because I felt so guilty. See, you can do things as a believer. And don't worry, this was not last week. This is, in my 20s, I didn't understand grace. I was under legalism. I'm just clearing it up because the person I mentioned might be going and saying, you know, Paul, last week, he was out there, that poor Mary. I used to tell people at Cook County, the prisoners in Cook County Jail, I used to be involved in ministry there, and I'd tell them, you know, if God could save me, and I said, I might have did some worse things than some of you guys did. And then you hear them, you see their eyes listening. I go, no, I'm not going to tell you. But just know, if he can do something with me, he religion didn't change me. Christ in me changed me. The grace of God changed me. And he can do it with you. He changes. He transforms our mind. And change, transformation always starts inwardly. Attitude, God works in our attitudes, which, what? Attitudes produce actions. That's what God's trying to do. Actions based on love. You share the truth in love. And so he says, see, so we can understand, Paul is giving that whole body of truth for us. But if we don't apply it in love to the details of our life, then just like the Corinthians, we ain't busting a grape. You ain't tearing toilet paper. You know? If you, that ain't in the Greek, by the way. That's Paul's translation. And he says, and have all knowledge. We can have a lot of knowledge, but what does Paul say? Knowledge without love, what? Puffs up. That's what I talk about, big doctrine heads. Check out my knowledge. Boom. You ever see them? They put on, it's a fun thing. They're like round things or something, the kids, and then they bump into each other. Well, that's a big doctrine head. Yeah. They're just like that. That's because they keep taking in the doctrine. Give me more doctrine. But ain't none going out. So you get heavy-headed, then you get heavy-handed. The doctrine needs to go from here into our will, into our feet, into our heart, and let the Holy Spirit, out of love, reach out. That's why I say, what are we doing in this area here? What's our church doing? See, I don't want to be the only one wondering about that. Because if you get enough people, you know, well, the Lord wants to reach. What are we doing? Something to think about. And though I have faith, so I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. Man, I got enough faith. I can say, mountain, move! In the name, right? But if I ain't got no love, big deal. Benny Hinn strutting around on stage with his coat. Whoa. And people go flying. Bunch of hypnotized people. Ain't the Holy Spirit. bunch of people motivated by emotions. And they work them up, the music. I know people who are into that stuff that were musicians, and they told me it was a gimmick. You work them up. Get them going in the beat. Don't get their mind thinking. Repeat the words. You start getting them hypnotized, and then you can make them do whatever they want. Cluck like a chicken. Bark like a dog. They're doing that. They call it laughing in the spirit. The one guy said he's the Holy Ghost bartender. Yeah. They said they're smoking Jesus. Or smoking the Holy Spirit. That's going on with our young people. And young people, if you don't carry the message, it ain't going to go on. You got to be strong. You got to depend on the Holy Spirit in you. I pray all the time, God, give me boldness. But to speak as I ought. That's not rudely. Speak the truth in love. That's God's way. So first he just said what? What love ain't, right? Ain't love my addiction? I only went to 8th grade. I had to quit school because of gangs. Got my GED, but you know how much studying I've done on my own? That's what you have to do. Study this word and study some really sound books to learn grace of other people who have studied. We can learn from great men and women through the books. My old pastor used to say, Kirkwood, he'd say, I can pick out my favorite teacher and learn from him today. That's what I love about my books. Now, he says what love isn't, okay? Now he's defining what love is. Charity suffers long. Love suffers long. You're patient with people, right? We're supposed to be patient with people, right? That hits me right away. I'm an impatient person. Man, with that moving, after a while, you know, I'm telling these guys to do things this way and they're doing it that way, and I'm not patient. My dad wasn't patient, but I can't blame him. I can't say, oh, I'm Irish, so I'm impatient, right? I'm German. If, again, what happens when you're impatient then? You know what you start saying? You know what? I'm not walking in line with my identity. God's patient with me. So I want to be patient with them. Love envieth not. You're happy when something happens to somebody. You know, I can imagine somebody, we posted pictures on Facebook. It's really a nice place, our apartment. Like, what, honey, 15 feet, the glass, where you look out and it's all trees. Fireplace, and, you know, instead of maybe being happy, they think, I should have that place. When you love, you're happy. My best friend told me, when I learned to be happy for other people, I became happier myself. Charity of love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know what vaunteth? The idea, praise itself. Hey, check me out. That's Benny Hinn on stage. He struts around, either uses his hand to pop you up on the head, or he blows on him too. But that dude got some bad breath, because I see people falling over, man. You know? That's vaunting yourself. You say, that's terrible, right? It's prideful, right? What about mid-acts that's been sexualists who are very study? Can't you vaunt yourself up? How much I know? Oh, fix my doctrine head. We can do that, right? See how we always gotta, when we're sharing, it's not to impress people. It's to bless them. When you study it, so for your own growth, but not just there. It's supposed to come in and God's love is supposed to fill us and then splash out. Yeah. It does not behave itself unseemingly. That's rudely. That person who attacked that other person for smoking, you're not worthy to be a mother. They were rude. And that ain't love. I said, I'm glad I don't know who it is, because, man, when I heard that, see, and I don't want to be rude myself. See somebody else doing something. And I'm kind of a guy, I always try and, sometimes my voice gets shaky because I'm trying to say things in the right way. I'm holding in. But when somebody just is so unloving and somebody thinks they're better than somebody, man, I'll just tell you like it is. And that ain't the way to do it either. You know, that isn't love. Again, if you see something in someone that's really a sin, go to them and help restore them.
That's right.
If it's really a sin, or mind your own business. How about that? Because Paul says for us to do that too. It does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not our own. See, it's not selfish. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. So out of love, we want to think the best in people. Not look down on them. Maybe they don't know as much as you. Maybe they don't have as much experience as you do. So help them. Help disciple them. I'm closing up here. Rejoice not in iniquity, but what? Rejoice in the truth. And what happens? You'll know the truth. And what did Jesus say? Truth. Yeah, you rejoice in that. You rejoice in your freedom in Christ. It beareth all things. See, it's putting up with things. Believeth all things. Believing the best. Hopeth all things. Love brings hope. Endureth all things. You endure when life's tough. When your husband's giving you trouble, your wife is giving you trouble, your kids are giving you trouble, your job's giving you trouble. You can endure and have joy and peace, because it's fruit of the Spirit. If we're focused on God, who is love and who loves us unconditionally. I'm going to go to that last verse. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, or love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. I'm going to leave you with that. Keep that in your mind today. Pray about it. We can't produce that kind of love. Remember that. You stay in dependence on Christ in you. Stay in this word, because it energizes us spiritually. And then what? Apply the word. Study. Right? Show thyself approved, the workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Meditate. Think about it. What do you mean? And apply. Uno, dos, tres. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. If we don't understand your love, Father, we ain't got none to give to anybody. If we think we got to be forgiven only when we confess our sins, or you'll turn your back on us, then we're going to be like that with other people, only when they treat us right, or they confess to us how wrong they were. But when we understand we're completely forgiven in Christ through His blood, through your grace, and that you love us unconditionally, we're accepted in the beloved. We learn to start accepting other people. And Lord, help us to just want to pray and seek you to see others as you see them, to see their hearts and not their outward self. I pray, Father, if there's one who's never trusted in Christ, I pray that they'll trust that Christ died personally for their sins on that cross. He shed His own blood. He took their shame, their pain, their punishment. And He died, was buried, and He rose. So you could justify the one who will trust and believe by grace through faith, not by works, as a gift received freely. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So thanks for all coming out. Love you guys.